I have made up.
Okay.
Didn't make up that one because I just wanted to catch up with us.
Sure. Thanks. Okay, we want to first look at lesson 15, the exercises that we had so far. See how we're doing on that before I cover this last section of chapter 15 about the possessive adjectives. And I believe I assigned you A through E, was that correct? Did I assign you E? Okay, good. Let's look at 15A then quickly. And as we go through, be sure and raise any questions that you have in your mind. If you didn't get the right answer and you don't know why, be sure and speak up so we can try to clarify it. 15a is to fill in the blank space with the proper form of autos if the Greek sentences will correctly render the English ones which precede them. And there's a note here, a pronoun in the exercises should have the gender of the corresponding noun in the preceding model. All subject pronouns are to be expressed. So they're asking for an expression of pronounal subjects here. And in some cases, that's going to mean there's a certain amount of emphasis to it. Yes?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Before we get out of context, I'd like to ask a question on number six.
On number six, okay.
And I wanted to, about the accent marks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put autone, which would make, and then I had to put the grave accent, but I was a little bit confused because if it's followed by an enclitic, it's supposed to keep the acute, right?
Yes, it's followed by an enclitic. Okay, you got your article there. It's an enclitic, yeah.
Grammar rules,
right. Right.
But I was looking for an example and I turned to page 85, and the bottom of page 85 in the book, it shows Erexanto auton poi Galileo, and that auton has the grave accent followed by the enclitic.
Right.
And I was wondering, is that am I confused somehow? Because I thought that was supposed to be an acute, and I looked at that example, I thought, whoa, which one is it supposed to be?
Right. This can be a little bit ambiguous. I'm going to have to check on this myself because, you see, there's no question if you have several enclitics in a row, you know what to do. With this situation, you have the normal rule for a grave is that the grave is used when the following word is accented. And when it's not accented, you would expect just the acute to remain.
Yeah,
so,
the short ultimate
right.
may have an acute accent provided that a marked function or enclitic immediate for follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, other than enclitic, the acute is changed to grave.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they change to grave on page 85?
Yeah, there's a couple of exceptions. Tis and T always retain the acute, but this doesn't seem to fit that. So it's just probably a force. I would just call it a typo error, and go with it that way.
So
I think that.
Six in the
group,
then that should be an acute.
Right. It should be an acute there because it's an enclitic that follows. Okay. But in number five, it should still be the grave because it's an accented word that follows. Mm-hmm. Okay. And don't worry too much about this kind. It's just mainly a matter of trying to keep it straight. But if on a test, for example, I wouldn't mark you wrong since we're not really grading on the accents. That may be what's happened here. Now, it'd be interesting to check the text from which this John 5, 4:45 comes and see if the text is has got the cue to the grave. If somebody's got a text, you might check it real quick. and see if there's maybe some exceptions to this over and above, you know, what we've seen already.
It's a grave.
It's a grave? Okay. They've got a grave there also, even though it is an enclitic that follows. Okay. Does you've got UBS? Is it grave in? Okay. Well, looks like we may have an exception to the rule there or something. The only thing I can think of, we do have a proper name following there, Galileoe, and that may be partly what's affecting it. But see, we've got other examples in which that's not the case. So I'm not sure I know the answer on that one. Okay. In other words, they're treating it as though it's an accented form, as following. And usually these articles are considered enclitics. They're part of the ones that are considered in that category, so there's apparently an exception here. But I wouldn't worry too much about it, just because it would be interesting to do a survey and find out just how often this kind of thing occurs, and if it's consistent with proper names and not with others and so forth. I haven't checked that. As a study for somebody to do when you have anything else to do. Okay. Let's look at the examples then. A and number one. The model A is the example that you're using. The apostle told the disciple the parable. Ho apostolos elalesen to mathe te ten parabolein. Now in the exercises you're substituting various of these nouns, substituting a pronoun for various nouns here. So number one, he told the disciple the parable. So taking apostle out and putting he in, that becomes what for the blank? Autos, yes, nominative form. Autos, nominative masculine singular. Number two, the apostle told him the parable. Now you're taking to mathete out and putting the pronoun in. What will that be? Auto with omega with the oda subscript, right. Dative, masculine, singular form. Number three, the apostle told it to the disciple. Ho apostolos elalesen blank to mathete. Now we need the, we're taking parabolein out and substituting a pronoun. What would that be? Autein, right? It has to be feminine because parable is feminine. And accusative, singular. So autein, eight anew. Number four, the apostle told the parable to him. Ho apostolos blank elalesen ton tein parabolein. What was that? What will that be? Auto, omega with the order subscript. Right. Okay, question?
Are two and four exactly the same?
Yes, they are. The only reason that they're worded differently in English is the only thing. And in number two, the English wording is in an indirect object format where there's no preposition to. Just the apostle told him the parable. In number four, the apostle told the parable to him. Just a little different word order and a prepositional phrase denoting the indirect object. But the Greek is identical. Although, even though the word order is, you know, they're given the word order a little bit different. But the structure is the same. Yeah. It's just a matter of getting you to pick up on the fact that in English we can express the indirect object several ways. Okay. Model B, the sister knows the child. He adelphe to technon ginoske. Okay, number five then, she knows the child. What is going to be she? Aute, aute, right. Aute. Aute to technon ginoske. And then number six, the sister knows him. I'm going to be watching on this one. Okay, we've got auton. Auto. Auto. Yes, no new on it. Why? Yes, child is to technon. It's neuter. And even though, see that they did this on purpose, because the sister knows him, you would expect that to be auton if it was referring to, say, anthropos or something like that. But because the antecedent of this pronoun is a neuter noun, even though in English we're translating it him because we don't want to call a child an it, the Greek noun is neuter, and so you're going to need a neuter form. And autos has this peculiarity that in the neuter, it has the omicron ending rather than omicron nu, like we've been used to seeing with other adjectives. So you've got a couple things there that need to be noted there. So auto should be the form, yes. Okay, that's with omicron. Any other questions on that? Okay, model C. The disciples sent the children to the apostles. Homaimatetai epemsanta techna tois apostolois. They sent the children to the apostles. What would they be translated as?
Autoi.
Right, autoi. Nominative plural, masculine. Number eight. The disciples sent them the children. Okay, what's going to be for them here in the first blank? They changed the word order a bit, but what will we want there?
Autois,
yes. Dative, plural, masculine. You see, what we're trying to say is the disciples sent them the children. The children is the direct object. And in other words, we're saying the disciples sent the children to them. And so the them is going to be your indirect object. It's going to be in the dative case. And it'll be dative, plural, masculine. We refer back to the antecedent, which was, it would be neuter, actually, the children. Okay, number nine, the disciples sent them to the apostles. Okay, blank epem san hoi mate tai tois of apostolois. What will we want in the blank here for them? Auta, right. Accusative, neuter, plural. Okay, direct object. Any questions on any of those and why? If you it's understandable to miss one, but make sure you know why you missed it. That's the important thing. Okay, model D. The slaves of the widow are the disciples of the Lord. Hoi douloi, teis cheras, eisen, hoi mathetai, tu kuriu. Okay, number 10 then. Her slaves are the Lord's disciples. Hoi douloi, blank, eisen, hoi mathetai, tu kuriu. Okay, autes, right. Genitive, singular, feminine, autes. Eta sigma. Her slaves. The slaves of her, in other words. Okay. Number 11, her slaves are his disciples. Hoi blank, douloi, eisen blank, hoi mathetai. Okay, what would be in the first blank? Autes. And the second blank? Autu, omicron upsilon. And notice in the first, what position is that genitive phrase in the first blank? First attributive, right. And in the second blank? First predicate, right. So they've used different positions for those. Okay, number 12, they are his disciples. Blank, asin, hoi mate, tai, blank. What's the first blank going to need? Autoi, right, that's functioning as the subject. And then the last blank? Autu, yes, his disciples, disciples of him. Omicron upsilon ending. Okay, model E, the Lord of the disciples is the foundation of the church. Okurios, ton mate, ton, esten, hoi, Themelios, tes, ecclesias. Number 13, their Lord is the foundation of the church. Hokurios, blank, esten ho, themelios, tes, ecclesias. What's going to be in the blank there? Okay, auton, omega nu, genitive plural. Number 14, the disciples' Lord is its foundation. Ho, ton, mate, ton, kurios, esten ho, themelios, blank. Okay, autes. It's got to be feminine because church is feminine noun. Even though it's its foundation, we're translating it because we recognize that a church isn't male or female. Nevertheless, the gender of the pronoun must be feminine to agree with the antecedent noun, church. Okay, so autes, eta sigma. Number 15. Their Lord is its foundation. Blank hokurios estin blank ho themelios. Okay, what's going to be the first blank? Auton, omega nu, right, their Lord, the Lord of them, genitive plural, so omega nu. And then estin blank ho themelios, what will be in that blank? Autes, right, its foundation, again, referring back to the church in the model. So it's got to be feminine, singular, genitive. Questions on any of those? Okay, speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay, 15b. Place an X in the parentheses before the English word right, which correctly renders the underlying Greek word in the sentence or expression at left. Okay, number one, autos ho theos epemsen ton huion. Now, autos is going to correspond to which of the following? His, him, himself, or the same? Himself, in this case, right, himself. And what is telling you that? What about the construction is giving you that information that it's in himself? Right, it's in a predicate position. When autos is used as an adjective in the predicate position, not when it, see, now autos has got three uses we've seen so far. It's used as an adjective in the predicate position, an adjective in the attributive position, and as a pronoun, in which case it's not an adjective at all, it's a substantive. And that was the chapter 15 section dealing with it. So, autos ho theos epem senton huion, predicate position functioning as an adjective, and so we would say himself. How would that verse be translated?
God himself sent the Son.
Right, God himself sent the Son. Right. God himself, or Elohim himself, sure. sent the Son. Okay, number two. O theos epem senton autu huion. Okay, now for autu underlined, what is that going to correspond to? Same his, him, himself.
His.
His, right, his. Genitive form of the pronoun. So, this autu is in a first attributive position here, but it's not functioning as an adjective, but as a pronoun. How do you know that?
It's a different case.
Right. It's in a different case from the thing. See, ton huyon is accusative case, and here our autos is in the genitive case. So we know that it can't be functioning as an adjective, or it would be agreeing. Now, there is a potential ambiguity that could arise. Can you foresee what kind of an ambiguity might take place in some instances? Yes, Daniel?
We have a verb that demands that ton huyon be in the genitive.
Right. Exactly. There are some verbs that take a genitive object, for example. Or really in any kind of a genitive phrase within which autu may be used, you could have an ambiguity as to whether autu would be translated something like the same or whether it would be translated this way, of him. If the whole phrase was genitive, then autu could be genitive because it's agreeing and functioning as an adjective to modify that noun, or it could be genitive because it is in a position of a pronoun modifying that noun phrase. So you have to go by context in places like that. That's the only thing you can really do. All right? That's a relatively rare occurrence, though, fortunately. Huh? Okay, number three. I guess I anticipated what they're going to do here. All right. Hutos esten homate tes tu huiu tu autu. Okay, what are we looking at there?
Same.
Yeah, same. Same.
But it could also be of him.
Of
the son of him.
Yes, of the son of him. His, I guess you could have said his here also. Let me think about this.
It doesn't go in the second attributive position.
Well, that's right. Second attributive position. Okay, yeah, that's the thing that's going to eliminate that for you. It'll only be first attributive position, never second attributive position. That may be the reason why they never use it in second attributive position, to eliminate the ambiguity. Yeah, there's a statement, see if I can find it for you. Page 86. Oh, 86, are you sure? That would be in chapter 15. Okay, oh, I was looking at the section number, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, page 86. At least in the New Testament anyway. Point number four, the genitive case form of autos may be attributed to a noun. When it is so attributed, it may occupy the first attributive position, but not the second in the New Testament. So that's what eliminates that first choice. Were it not for that fact, though, it could be either one. Good point. Okay? Number four, ho theos epem sen auto ton huion. Okay, we have auto underlined here. How's that going to be rendered?
Yeah.
Him, right, him, indirect object. Okay? And what would be the translation?
God sent the Son to him.
Yes, God sent the Son to him, or God sent him the Son. Mm-hmm. So this is just functioning as a pronoun here. Number five, ho theos epem sen ton huion auton. Okay, himself, the Son himself. Predicate position here. So the Son himself, or the very Son, or something like that, would be a translation for it. Not the same Son, because that would be your attributive position. Okay, number six, autos ton huion epemsen. He, right. Nominative case form, subject of the sentence, so he sent the Son. Number seven, autu ton huion epemsen ho theos. He is, right. He is. Predicate position, genitive phrase, modifying Son. So it's God's, his subject is last here, but God sent his Son. Number eight, hutos ho theos epemsen ho ton huion.
This.
This, right. Hutos is demonstrative adjective, and it's going to be used in predicate positions, of course, never in attributive positions. Yeah, they just threw that one in for you to try to get these things straight here. You see, that one of the mistakes that can be made, especially when hutos has got, you know, like the in the feminine forms where you get the alpha upsilon diphthong, it's easy to get those confused. You just got a rough breathing as opposed to the smooth breathing in the nominative forms there. And you got to watch and keep your eyes glued to what's going on. These adjectives are both used quite frequently in the New Testament. It's easy to get them mixed up. So I'm sure that's why he threw in here, just to see if you could catch it. Okay, that's your demonstrative. Hutos, hotheos, epems, and tonhoyon. This God sent the Son. Number 9. Hotheos, autu, epems, and tonhoyon. His. Okay, and how would that be translated, the whole sentence?
His God sent the Son.
Right, his God sent the Son. His God sent the Son. Number 10. Hotheos, epems, and ton autonhoyon. Okay, the same. Right, the same. God sent the same Son. And the reason it's the same is because autos, in as it's modifying a noun in an attributive position, in this case the first attributive position is going to be translated the same. Yes?
How would you translate number 3?
Oh, okay. This is the disciple of his of the same Son. This is the disciple of the same Son. Okay. Number 15C, supply in the space provided the correct subject pronouns for the verb forms below. Okay, this is a matter of not only of recognizing first what verb form you're looking at, what's the person and number of the verb form, and then supplying the correct form of the pronoun from the paradigms that fits that. So number 1, pempes, what are we looking at first of all as far as person and number? Excuse me. Second person singular, right. And that's going to come out as what as far as the pronoun? Su, right. Sigma upsilon. Sigma upsilon. Number 2, tripses. That's from tribo, to rub. And this would be a future form. But it's, again, second person singular. Epsilon, yoda, sigma ending. And that's going to also be then su. Sigma upsilon. Okay. Number 3, egrapsamen. Person number are we looking at there? First person plural, right. First person plural. And by the way, why don't we do the rest of it while we're at it? What tense are we looking at here?
Aorist,
right. You've got the augment, you've got the alpha type endings, you've got the sigma added to the stem. So we're looking at a first person plural aorist indicative active form. Okay, what would be the pronoun then we want?
Hey mace.
Ada mu epsilon iota sigma. Okay, with rough breathing. Number 4, kalupteta. What are we looking at here? What's the ending denoting person number?
Second
person plural. Okay, that's an easy one to identify. And it means to hide, of course. And this is just a present form from kalupto. What would be the pronoun that you'd want there?
Humace,
upsilon with rough breathing. Number 5, dioxomen. Again, what are we looking at there? Person number. First person, plural. So what's your form? Hey mace, eta, mu, epsilon, yoda, sigma. Number 6, enoiga. What are we looking at now for person number? Huh? Enoixa, excuse me. Sorry, I got... Anyway, God have been good for the present. Okay, so this is an aorist form. So what are we looking at for the person number? First person singular, right. The alpha there, your aorist. And we have the augment there, would have been an alpha, but it's turned to eta. We have the gamma turning to xi because of the sigma. But what would be your form then for the pronoun? Ego, right, ego. Okay. Elengsas, what are we looking at there? Suffix, what's that suffix indicating? Second person singular, okay, in your aorist form. So what's your pronoun going to be? Su, right. Okay, now notice all of these are nominatives because, you know, you're dealing with a verb form and it's going to be the subject. So all of them are nominative. It's just a matter of picking the right paradigm. Number 8 then, keruses, epsilon, yoda, sigma. What's your pronoun for that? su, right. And elenches, su again. Okay, that one may be a little bit less obvious just because of the imperfect ending system. This would be an imperfect form. Number 10, ke ruxomen, what's your pronoun form there? Hemes, yeah, first person plural, hemes. Number 11, lepomen, again it's hemes, that omen tips it off. And what would be this form? This would be would this be an aorist or an imperfect? Yeah, it's an imperfect. But it's one of those. What would be the aorist form? Does anybody remember for this same form?
Lipomen,
right? Lipomen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, no, this one just I was trying to stick an augment on it. It's more fun if you put an augment on it. This is just present form right now, the way it is. But suppose I had elapomen, then it would be a pretty imperfect form. And the only way you can tell the aorist and so forth is stem change. Okay. Just trying to have more fun with it than really allow it. Sorry about that. Okay, number 12. Oxes. Su, right. Second person, singular again. And this would be a future form from ago. Hexeta. What's going to be your form there? Humes, right. Second person, plural. Okay, and this is an irregular future for echo. It gets a rough reading. Hexo in the future. Number 14, Hemartes. Su again, that's Su. Mm-hmm. Second person singular. And this is a second aorist form. Okay, number 15, Eschomen. What would that be? Hemes, right. Again, first person plural. And this is second aorist again. Number 16, Hures. Pronoun there? Su, yeah, second person singular. Okay, again another second aorist. Number 17, Egagete. What's the pronoun form? Humes, right, second person plural, humes. And again, a second aorist. Number 18, Epesa. What would be your form there? Ego, right, ego. And that's just first person singular, aorist form. And this is not a second aorist, it should be a first aorist. Tell by the ending system, for one thing. Number 19, ebaptisamen. What would be your pronoun form? Hemes. Right, hemes. First person plural, aorist here. Number 20, espusate. What would be your pronoun form there? Humes, right. Again, now an aorist, second person plural. Questions?
In pronunciation, which is better,
humes
or
humes? Oh, they're trying to give a little umlaut sound to the upsilon by itself. So, humes is what I'm accustomed to. I don't think humes would be any problem. But the pronunciation they gave it a little umlaut sound to it. So that's what we're picking up and using. I suppose in English that kind of happens too. So that's I won't get upset at you if you take it either way. See, I think they're trying to make a little bit of a distinction between omer and upsilon and upsilon. And if you say ooh, then that's just the same as pronouncing omer and upsilon. So you say you a little bit, get a little bit of umlaut sound to it. Then, of course, you do get confused with epsilon upsilon, so you kind of lose either way. It's just an attempt to try to get as much difference as we can. And to some extent, English-speaking people are going to anglicize things. Probably if you were to go to Germany and listen to a German class pronounce the they would have a little bit different, slightly different pronunciations than we would, and from place to place. So I'm sure we're butchering things in an anglicized way. But we're not really attempting to pronounce modern Greek anyway. Modern Greek would even be simpler. They just run everything together and pronounce almost everything the same. Okay, that solves a lot of problems pronunciation wise but it would sure generate a lot of problems trying to recognize our forms. Okay, 15D. Fill in the blank spaces with the appropriate pronouns so that the Greek sentences will correctly render the English ones. Use the unaccented forms where these exist. So since in many cases you can use either accented or unaccented forms, they're telling you go ahead using the unaccented forms if you have an unaccented form available. And don't worry about the accent patterns of the previous word when you do that. Of course, in doing that, you would actually change some of these accent patterns according to the rules that we'd seen before, but we're not going to take a lot of time to straighten all that out. We've mentioned a few things as we go. Model is given to you here. The apostle sent the disciples a slave. Well, apostolos epem sent doulon to mathete. Okay, number one, the apostle sent me to the disciple. Well, apostolos to mathete epem sen what? Me, right, me. Mu epsilon. Yeah, just me. Yeah, okay, that one works out pretty good. That's about as the only one that does, though, I think. Yeah, and actually what would happen here to epemsen, you'd get another accent on the last syllable of that because of the enclitic, remember, because it's a penultimate stress. I mean, it's a the accent is on the antepenult in this particular one, so don't worry about that. That in this case the enclitic is considered a part. Once you accent the previous word like that, it's a little bit different situation. In effect, what you're doing is considering meh the last syllable of the previous word. You know, and that's in effect what you're doing in this case. I can't remember what page it was that we had this thing, but it's not really worth belaboring this point because I wouldn't bother on a test with it for you. But several had questions as to why you got two accents in some words. And let's see where example was of this. Yeah, well, anthropostis, there was an example there on page 327. And they go ahead and use an acute. But the reason they use an acute is perhaps because you're considering that enclitic as being brought into the previous word. And so it's no longer another word following it. You see, it's just part of the same unit. Okay, number two, the apostle sent you to the disciple. Ho apostolos to mathete epemsen se. Okay, se. Number, just sigma epsilon. Number three, the apostle sent us to the disciple. Ho apostolos to mathete epemsen what? Hemas. Hemas, yes, make sure it's eta there, so it's us. If you put upsilon, then it's you. Okay, number four, and here you get to use your upsilon, the apostle sent you to the disciple. So here you want humas, right? Humas, upsilon. Number five, the apostle sent me a slave. Ho apostolos doulon epemsen moi. You want moi here because it's indirect object. Sent me a slave. In other words, he sent a slave to me. That's the way you would analyze this. Huh? Oh, okay, same spelling? Yeah, well, good. Yeah. Number six, what about the second person? Is that the same as in French?
No.
Okay. It only works for one of them. You got the English good for one and then the French good one for one so far.
Back to Babel.
Yeah, right. It's back to Babel. Number 16. The apostle sent you, singular, a slave. Well, apostolos doulon epemsen soi. Okay. Number seven. The apostle sent us a slave. Well, apostolos doulon epemsen hemin yoda nu. This is actually a third declension type ending, as you will soon see later on. Well, not too soon, see. Next semester you'll see it. Number eight, the apostle sent you, plural, a slave. Ho apostolos doulon epemsen humin, right? Upsilon. And number nine, the apostle sent the disciple to us. Ho apostolos ton mathetein epemsen hemin. Okay, hemin to us. Just a different way of stating an indirect object. Number ten, the apostle sent them to you, humin. Again, and I guess that's it. Okay, then 15E. Any other questions on 15D? Choosing appropriate forms there. Okay, 15E. Same instructions as for 15D. Different model example. The Lord's brothers are baptizing the prophet's disciples. Hoi adelphoi tu kuriu baptizusin tus mathetas ton propheton. Okay, number one, my brothers are baptizing the prophet's disciples. Tus mathetas ton mathetan ton propheton baptizusin hoi adelphoi mu. Mu omicron upsilon. Okay, you're by far your most common position for this type of thing. My brothers. The Lord's brothers are baptizing your disciples. Hoi adelphoi tuku riu baptizusin tus mathetas su. Assuming it's your singular now. which is stated there. Su, sigma omicron upsilon. Number three, your plural brothers are baptizing the prophet's disciples. Tus mathe taston propheton baptizus in hoi adelphoi. Humon. Yes, your plural. So we want humon. Genitive, plural, second person form. Number four, our brothers are baptizing the prophet's disciples. Tus mathe taston propheton baptizus in hoi adelphoi. Hamon, our brothers, first person plural, genitive form. So it's Hamon, omega nu. Any questions there? Okay, number 15. The Lord's brothers are baptizing my disciples. Hoi adelphoi tu kuriu baptizu sintus mathetas. What? Mu, right? My disciples. So again, it's just mu, regardless of what function the noun it modifies carries, in this case accusative, it's still mu. Number six, your singular brothers are baptizing the prophet's disciples, tus mathetas tu prophetu baptizu sin hoi adelphoi. What? Su, omicron upsilon, sigma omicron upsilon, your singular. And number seven, the Lord's brothers are baptizing our disciples. Hoi adelphoi tu kuriu baptizu sintus mathetas. Hamon, right, omega nu. And number eight, the Lord's brothers are baptizing your disciples. Same thing, only now we have humon, your plural disciples. Number nine, the Lord's brothers are baptizing disciples of ours. Now this is an interesting usage because what really is the difference between this and saying our disciples, in the Greek anyway.
You don't have the definite article.
Right, no article on the noun. That's the major difference. And so, hoi adelphoi tu kuriu baptizusen mathetas hemon. So, as far as the form of the genitive is no different, but the thing that makes a difference is no article on mathetas. If you compare, I guess it's pretty much the same as number seven, the Lord's brothers are baptizing our disciples, compared to number nine, the Lord's brothers are baptizing disciples of ours. The difference there is no article. Tus mathetas hemon is our disciples. Mathetas hemon is disciples of ours. Slight shade of meaning difference, I suppose, but be sure you observe this distinction as far as translating in the Greek. Okay, then the Lord's brothers are baptizing disciples of mine. Again, no article on disciples. So it's mathetas what?
Mu.
Mu, of mine, yes. Mathetas mu. If it was tus mathetas mu, it would be what? If there was an article on mathetas, it would be my disciples, right? But my disciples is tus mathetas mu. Disciples of mine would be mathetas mu. Yes?
Would you see mu before mathetas?
Doesn't seem to. It would be technically possible because all you need is a predicate position, and you can use this in the first predicate as well as second predicate. But how many times you would see it that way? I think it'd be rare. If it occurs that way in the New Testament, it's probably very rare. This second predicate position is just the most common position. Period. And I think in cases where there's no article, it's even more common. Because and there's perhaps a reason for it in that. Here it wouldn't cause you any confusion because you had a verb immediately before that. But if you had something else before, then you have the question of whether the mu is applying to the other noun or this one, you know, and that, I think that's part of the reason why there's a tendency to use that second predicate position more often, just because it separates it from anything going before if there's nothing else following it. So, of course, you get the same problem if you had other words attached to the other end of it. You might want to stick it out in front. So depending on the word order structure, I would think that would be the primary factor in determining where you'd see this mu. Okay, we didn't do 15 F, G, and H yet, and we'll take a look at our textbook, see if we can finish this section and maybe assign those last ones. Having to do with the possessive adjectives, yes?
So before we jump on to this, can I jump back to Model D?
Model D?
The slaves of the widow, the disciples of the Lord.
Okay, now you're talking about exercise 15D and... Okay.
Yeah,
15D. 15D and which number?
Well, the whole set, because... I have put numbered plurals on.
Okay, you're talking about Model D on page 62.
Yeah, numbers 10, 11, 12.
15A Model D.
Oh.
Yeah, 15A. Okay, I got you now.
W62.
Right. W62, numbers 10, 11, and 12?
Yeah.
All right.
I had Alte and Altoi. I had every one of them in the...
Dative instead of genitive?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the essential point is, if we want to say her slaves, we're saying the same as the slaves of her. Okay, and we need a genitive case form there. Possession, you're going to use for a genitive case. If you use the dative, you see dative isn't going to modify a noun in the first place. And I don't know how you would translate this. I suppose you would say the slaves, well, you can't even do it. The slaves are to her the Lord's disciples or something like that.
I put down the plural nominative.
Oh, the plural nominative form.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I couldn't understand why, since the slaves is acting as a
I see what you're doing. You tried to make this agree.
Yeah.
You tried to make this agree. What you tried to do is what we're going to do in this next section with a different word. There is such a thing as a possessive adjective, which will agree with its noun in case, number, and gender, but also indicate possession. There's two ways to indicate possession in Greek. Using a possessive adjective we're about to study, which is what you tried to do without tos, but it doesn't work without tos. Without tos, you need to use a genitive form of the noun. You treat it as a noun in the genitive form, modifying another noun. It's a little tricky, but there is another adjective, a possessive adjective, that can be used in this kind of situation that you are looking for here. And that's going to be coming up in this next section. Okay? But the normal way is to use a genitive form. Most common way is to use a genitive form of the pronoun. So, even though it is her slaves, and it looks in English like you have an adjective modifying a noun, in the Greek that's going to come out as another noun in the genitive case modifying this noun. So it'll be genitive case regardless of what the noun it modifies is. Okay, does that clarify for you?
So if we were translating from English into Greek, mm-hmm. two choices to which way to translate it then? You
yes.
Translate it without to, or octave, depending on uh-huh. what it is, you know, or can translate it with this other...
Yeah, with this other possessive adjective, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes sense. That's what I did on my...
Okay, well, we'll get to this possessive adjective. These possessive adjectives, though, I think they only really work in first and second persons, though. The third person forms just use this autos. I guess it really wouldn't really apply in this case, because in the third person you have a different set type of... You can use the pronoun and the genitive, but if you want to say my or your, first and second persons, there's a possessive adjective that's an alternate form that can be used. And you can either say let's see, what's a good example? They give one here for Kairos time. If you want to say my time, you could say ho Kairos mu, or you could say ho Kairos ho emos, or ho emos Kairos. There's another adjective form that will function like any other adjective that can be used to express possession. So let's take a look at that. Was there any other question? Did that clarify that question for you? Okay. Anybody else have a question on? Okay. Okay. Number section 110, then, on page 90 in your textbook. The last part that we haven't covered yet in lesson 15. Possessive adjectives. The English forms my, mine, thy, thine, our, ours, your, yours, are usually represented in Greek by the genitive forms of the appropriate personal pronouns, as we have said. They may, however, also be represented by the possessive adjectives emos, eta, on, sos, eta, on, hemeteros, alpha, on, and humeteros, alpha, on. Why do humeteros and hemeteros have alpha, on, instead of eta, on?
In a row.
Yeah, stem ends in a row. Remember, all the adjectives whose stem ends in row or vowel will take alpha-type endings in the feminine. Okay. See, you do remember something from the past. All right? These possessive adjectives are inflectionally and syntactically similar to other adjectives. They occur much less frequently than the genitive form of the personal pronoun. So if you want a ratio here, these forms occur less frequently than the genitive forms of the pronouns. But they will occur enough so that you do need to be aware of them. And their syntax is just like any other adjective. So there's nothing new to learn here as far as as far as syntax is concerned. Just like an adjective kalos, for example, the adjective emos functions just like kalos, only it means my. So if you want to say my this or that, you can use this possessive adjective emos, and you will put it in the case form that's appropriate with the noun. It'll agree with the noun, case number, and gender. Or you could say the same thing by using a genitive form of the relative pronoun, regardless of what the case is. Okay, so let's look at the examples. A, possessive adjectives with anarthrous nouns. So if we've got an anarthrous noun, here's the way you use a possessive adjective, just like any other adjective, really. Gnoson tai pantes hoti emoi mathetai esta. All shall know that you are my disciples. Okay, my disciples emoi mathetai. So there we see the adjective in the... It's hard to define positions when you've got an anarthrous noun. You can't really call this a predicate position, really, because it's an anarthrous noun. An anarthrous noun, the adjective can come before or after, but we really don't call them predicate or attributive positions because there's no article to define that. This could be translated my disciples or disciples of mine, either one. Mathe taimu esta. You are my disciples or disciples of mine. Okay, there we see the alternate form, and that's using the genitive form of the pronoun, but the translation is the same. So you can either say emoi mathe tai or mathe taimu. See the sameness and the difference? Okay, now look at emoi mathe tai. Now mathe tai, in this case, what case form is that? Okay, it's going to be a nominative plural form of mathe tais, which is a first declension masculine noun. And so the adjective that's going to be appropriate with that, just like you'd have hoi mathe tai, here you have emoi mathe tai. In other words, this is an adjective that takes the same kind of case endings that any other adjective would take. If it was good disciples, it would be kaloi mathe tai. But because it's my disciples, it's emoi mathe tai. But you can also say the same thing by using the genitive form mu attached to it.
Maybe I'm confused because emoi is the dative form of the pronoun.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I know why you're confused. All right, yes, it is. It is. But dative form of the pronoun would never be used.
Plural?
Huh?
It's also the nominative.
It's also the nominative plural form of the adjective. Okay, I'm glad you pointed that out. Now I can see why you got confused. It just happens that those forms end up being the same. And so the way you're going to tell is just by the context and how the thing fits together. That was probably an unfortunate example. They probably should have chosen one that didn't have an ending that came out the same as the other one. But you can notice, and the accent pattern's the same too, which makes it even worse. But the first person singular, emoi, dative form, to me, happens to be the same form as the possessive adjective, emoi, in the dative, in the nominative plural. Yes?
Well, the meanings aren't that far off in a way. They're disciples to me. You know,
well, yeah, it's not too far off, but in another instance you could get in trouble there. It's not too far off, I see what you're saying, but... and actually, a person could, word order-wise and so forth, apart from context, there could be a debate as to which way this to be taken. Taking that as a dative form, you know, to me, disciples for me or to me or something like this, rather than my disciples. Okay, well, let's see. They should have given us a better example. Maybe they just couldn't find any good examples in the scriptures. That's one of the ones that they're wanting to use that didn't have that potential confusion. But if you were in any other case and number and so forth, you'd see a clear difference between the two. Okay. Look at the next example here. Possessive adjectives with articular nouns in attributive position, either first or second. Ho kairos ho emos. Now, these possessive adjectives can occur in the second attributive position. Your genitive form of your pronouns doesn't occur in the second attributive position in the New Testament, but the possessive adjectives will, because they're just like any other adjective. So, ho kairos ho emos, or ho emos kairos. There's first position. Those are both attributive positions of that adjective relative to a noun. And notice it's got the form emos, which is your nominative singular form, to agree with the nominative singular form of the noun. But then a parallel passage or a similar phrase, ho kairos mu, there the same thing is all translated as my time. But kairos mu has got the genitive form of the pronoun. And it's coming out the same translation-wise as the possessive adjective being used and as any other adjective modifying a noun in an attributive position. Okay, that's probably a better example to see the difference there. Okay, point number two, when possessive adjectives are used predicatively, a form of the verb aimi is usually expressed. Now, possessive adjectives, normal adjectives are used just in a predicate position, and we don't need to supply the verb to be. So if we want to say the man is good, ho anthropos kalos, that's all we need to do. We don't need to put a verb form in there, we just put it in predicate position. Kalos ho anthropos, same thing. But when we use these possessive adjectives, the tendency is to use a form of the verb to be there. And not that it would absolutely be necessary, I suppose, but they say it's usually expressed this way. And so instead of using just a predicate position, they'll go ahead and put the verb, form of the verb to be here. That won't cause you any confusion if you're going from Greek to English. If you're going from English to Greek, then there may be some, you know, you have to try to remember this to say, well, I can't just use a predicate position here. They're normally going to use the verb to be there. So, he eme didache uk esten eme. Eme, excuse me. My teaching is not mine. Now, we see eme used in two different ways here. First, in an attributive position, my teaching, he eme didache. And then you could have said, well, with the negation here, you're almost certainly to use the verb form anyway. Uk esten eme. Notice that we don't have a predicate position for the second noun. We just have the verb to be expressed. Whereas with another noun, or with another adjective, excuse me, you could just put it in a predicate position and not have to put the verb to be here. This negation, of course, makes a difference here. It's kind of a poor example because with the negation, you do need the form of the verb to be to really get that expressed. If you're going to use a negation. We'll get to that later on. John 17:6. Soi eison kamoi autus edokas. They were thine and thou gavest them to me. Okay, soi eison and kamoi autus edokas. Kamoi is actually kai plus moi. You don't, haven't seen that yet, but it's a contraction. So that's kind of cute, isn't it? We'll get to it a little bit later on. He hasn't mentioned anything about that yet. Could even be considered kai emoi. I'm not sure whether they call it kai moi or kai emoi here. Depends whether you use the accented or unaccented form. But the verb to be, eison, is expressed here. So you could, you know, under with another type of a predicate adjective, just get by with saying soy. Kamoi autus edokas. But normally with these pronouns and these possessive adjectives, you're going to see the actual verb form expressed. Su esten he basileia. Thine is the kingdom. Or to you is the kingdom. Or of you is the kingdom, I should say. Of you is the kingdom. Again, this is an adjective here that could be... let's see. This one would be your form of the pronoun. So... that's a similar situation as above, but this is using the form of the pronoun. That's also going to use a form of the verb to be.
But that would need the verb to be, wouldn't it?
Really would, yeah, because this isn't your possessive adjective anymore. And so a predicate position isn't going to work here because this is a genitive form. And you've got to have your verb to be here to know what's even happening. Okay? So he didn't really make a... I guess he's got the CF there indicating compare, but this is a different situation here. This is not the possessive adjective, but this is a pronoun form. Okay, then C, part C. Possessive adjectives are also used substantively like other adjectives. So just like any other adjective, you can take the adjective, put an article on it, and use it like a noun. You can do that with these possessive adjectives. So ta ema panta sa esten kai ta sa ema. Okay, it means all that is mine is thine, and thine is mine. Ta ema panta, it means all that is mine, sa esten, is thine, kai ta sa ema, and the yours is mine. See, the your things. They're using a neuter plural here, so you're almost translating the my things and the your things. That's kind of the picture in Greek. So the my things, all the my things are yours, and... The your things are mine. Okay? But notice, though, that we don't have the word things there. We just have the adjective put in a neuter plural form here, and it's used as a substantive. Article stuck on it, and it's functioning like a noun. That's very common in Greek to do that kind of thing. Okay, well, for next Tuesday, as next time we meet, go ahead and do the last F, G, and H that are all dealing with this possessive adjective. Then we'll find out whether you really got it or not. Okay, and after this, we'll be kind of through with this stuff for a while.
Huh?
No, I don't mean to imply a pop quiz. We'll just go through the exercises. That'll tell us enough. And we'll be getting into chapter 16 next time. Get back to our verbs now and get into passive verb forms.
Did you say that this is not a possessive adjective?
No, it's not a possessive adjective. This is a possessive pronoun. This is what you saw back here. See, or in fact, the accented form of it. Now, if it was a possessive adjective, actually the form would look about the same. Here, let's see now. What is our noun? Basileia. No, I guess it wouldn't be. It would have to agree with Basileia, so it would be say or something like that. See? So it would be a different form. But.
If you're going to use a possessive adjective instead of a genitive to indicate possession, which is more emphatic, or the equally so?
I haven't really seen anybody come out, and this is rare, more rare to use this. I think it would probably.